Collaboradio contains adult language and humor. There will be swears, and listener discretion is advised. With that being said, thank you for listening, and enjoy the episode. Here we fucking go. Welcome back to Collaboradio, folks. My name is Jack, also known as Jocka. Joining me today, as always, is my co-host, Steve, also known as Think Fish Tank.
Yo, what's up?
AA. And joining us once again today is our very special friend, Dom, also known as Riverman. Welcome back, Dom.
Hello.
Hello. And today, we are going to be listening to a very, very special, very, very special vinyl DJ mix, which Dom has put together himself out of very rare LPs.
It's kind of special.
Yes, it's
not like soup.
It's, yeah. I think it's very special.
You've not even listened to it yet, Jack.
Yeah, no.
I it's special.
I put the video for it together, and like I made it go up there, but I have not listened to it in full, so I'm excited for this.
Yeah, I will say I have not listened to it yet either. I have put off the temptation. Mm-hmm. Trust me, I've been tempted. Every time I go on YouTube, it recommends it to me. Please listen to this DJ mix. I say, no, I shall not do that until we're recording a live podcast. I've been tempted many times by the devil, and here we are. Still a vinyl DJ mix virgin. Yes.
Won't be for long.
Yeah, so just a quick bit of information about the mix. It's what it says on the tin. It's an all vinyl mix. It's not like a live mix because I don't really have the equipment for that. I'd love to do that, but, you know, money. But, basically, every record, every song, every piece of audio you hear in the mix is from my vinyl collection. And I recorded it all over a period of, well, a couple of weeks. It took me quite a while to get everything.
Yeah.
And then I pieced it all together in a door. And there you go.
Hell
yeah. That's it.
All right. Well, then I guess let's get to it then, shall we?
Cool.
Cool, cool. All
right, so this is just like a little intro thing that I put together.
Close your eyes. Just close your eyes.
Ah.
Take a deep breath. And listen.
Don't mind if I do?
Yeah.
In a few moments, you will have an experience which will seem completely real. It will be the result of your subconscious fears transformed to your conscious awareness.
Incredible.
You have 5 seconds to terminate this tape.
Oh, shit.
Five.
Four, this is a trap.
2, 1.
Right, so this is the first track. It's a remix of a Cold Cut track. Huh. By Cornelius.
Ooh.
And it's one of my favorite, like, unexpected finds, like, ever on a record.
Amazing.
I just picked up this Cold Cut remix album, expecting it to be kind of mediocre because, you know, remix albums usually are.
Mm-hmm.
But this track kicks the thing off, and it's such a good track.
Holy shit.
Nice. Wow.
I put a lot of work into get the vinyl recordings to sound as good as possible.
Damn, yeah, it shows.
Yeah. I know it's, you know, it gets compressed in YouTube or anyway because that's how YouTube is. But there is a download link for an uncompressed version.
Yeah, I saw that. That's dope.
So if you want to hear the uncompressed version, which sounds way better, by the way, you can do that.
Yeah.
What year was this, Dom? Any idea?
Smith, I think it's 97.
Yeah. Oh, awesome.
It's pretty old. Yeah.
Shit. It kind of has a timeless sound to it, though.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, it sounds like it could be contemporary. Yeah, this is one I'm definitely coming back to some other time. This is great.
Yeah.
Robert Moog has been building theremins and theremin kits since 1954.
54.
I love that. That was really good. Yo.
I just thought this was the perfect track to just kick the mix off because it's such a hype track, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's got so much energy to it. I love that stereo effect there on that whatever instrument that is.
I'm gonna have to go back and listen to the original track as well.
Yeah, I've not heard the original. I have only heard the remix. Cold Cut are a decent group though. So one difference between my mix and your mix, Steve, is I feel like your mix is, I guess, more preoccupied with getting covering as much ground as possible. Mm-hmm. So you cut tracks down. You don't go through entire tracks and stuff. Whereas I do that partly because I want to show the whole tracks, and also partly because I was too lazy to make.
Right. No, I get it.
There are a few cuts here and there, but you know, it's not crazy. I kept the editing fairly minimal.
I feel like the next mix I do, I want to be like a mega mix style where it's just like, you know, like a third of a song basically, and you just like tons of different tracks. I think that'd be fun. But I really like this a lot. I like, you know, what is this? An hour and a half, 90 minutes.
Yeah.
I mean, you have no limitations, so you might as well just play a bunch of good songs in a row.
Yeah. I mean, this is something that I'm going to come back to as well, so, right. You know. I prefer to hear the full songs when I listen to mixes, personally, but, yeah.
God, this song keeps surprising me. It keeps going places where I'm not expecting it to go.
I know, we were just talking, so I didn't mention it, but like there was a bit, like a minute ago, that I loved. And I didn't even get to say it, because we, you know, it just happened, came and went so quickly. There's like a little segment. Man, yeah, there's like so many different parts. The evolution is great.
And this is just a commissioned remix that he did. Like, the amount of effort he must have put into this, and it's just a remix. Like, some artists put no effort at all into their remixes, and like, this is what Cornelius did.
Oh my fuck.
Why do I know that name, Jack?
Cornelius. It's one of Pat's favorite producers.
Okay, yeah, I'm sure I've heard some stuff. I didn't know if there was like one song in particular that I would remember Cornelius from or not, but
he put out a pretty popular record around this time in 97, I think, called Phantasma. Mm-hmm.
I'm like, at some point we're gonna transition to another song, but I'm not sure when it's happening. I think it's not yet. I think we're still gonna be close.
It's gonna be very soon, though. Can feel it.
This is a new track.
Okay, thank you.
Wait. Oh, just now. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, so this is Open by Comtruse.
Oh, so, yeah. Okay.
I'm sure you're familiar with him.
Yeah.
I sampled Comtruse on one of the tracks that we played in the last mix.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
So Comtruse sampled someone else that I sampled Comtruse, and then Riverman did a remix of that. So it's like four times removed. It's so weird when you really break it down.
Yeah, again, I felt that this was a pretty good track to put near the beginning of the mix because it is like an opening track, and it's just good synth porn, basically.
Absolutely. Yeah. I recognize this song because it comes on like a playlist of like instrumental electronic stuff that I listen to from time to time. Yeah, it's a really good one. And for all the nerds, do you mind just telling us like the name of the record and like the year if you have those?
Oh yeah, the record is. Let me just look this up. I can't quite remember the name of it.
Yeah, I don't expect you to know it like off the top of your head.
It's In Decay. It's from 2012.
Oh, sick.
It's actually a pretty expensive record now. I bought it a few years ago, and now it's like a 50 quid record, so.
Oh, that's sick. Yeah.
Nice.
Okay, another track. This is Hot Flame by DJ Dextrous and HP. And this is like a 90s jungle cut that I found. Quite recently, actually.
Nice.
This is a pretty rare track. It's not an easy one to find.
Was the record a pretty penny then?
No. I told you guys about this. That huge haul of records I found that was worth like half a grand.
Oh,
I
yeah, yeah.
Like, I paid like 38 quid for a lot, and this is one of them.
Nice.
Yeah, this one's a very 90s.
I like the artist name, DJ Dextrous and HP, and HP is H-P. Spelled H, and then P-E-E. Or is that a H? Is that a H, Dom?
Yeah.
Okay. Is that a regional thing, or is that all British folks are going to say that H?
No, I don't think so.
Regional?
Just HP.
Okay, gotcha. We need to do a separate podcast for where we break down dialects.
Pretty sure there are podcasts that already do that.
And I'm better qualified than those.
Somehow the podcast we currently do is even more niche than that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
By the way, I should point out why the YouTube video doesn't have a track listing. I did try, but for whatever reason, after I added the track listing, the video got blocked. And as soon as I removed it, the block was removed. So YouTube doesn't like track lists, apparently.
Apparently.
So I can't do it, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
We'll go through the names of everything in here anyway, so you'll know what's what.
Sounds good.
Just out of curiosity, I went on to another video of ours that had gotten taken down. It was a video of one of my mixes this spring, and I took off the track listing just to see if anything would happen. So we'll see.
Is it back?
I don't think it was as of me checking on it like half an hour ago. Okay. But
Fair enough.
It was literally instantaneous for me.
Oh,
so
wow.
It changed on the page from blocked to public.
Weird. I mean, I'm not going to argue with it because it worked.
Yeah, really. That's so sick. Like, because that was so stressful for a minute because we're like, are we even going to record the podcast if the mix is like no longer on YouTube? So I'm glad we solved that mystery. I mean, namely, Dom solved the mystery.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I also caused the problem in the first place, so.
Well, that's debatable. I don't know if it's really you that caused the problem, as much as it is just like certain algorithms at work that perhaps caused the problem.
Mm, yeah, but I fell victim to those certain algorithms, so, you know, I'm still partly to blame.
Right, but I'm just saying, don't try to shoulder it all yourself, my friend.
Yeah, I know. I mean, it's cool anyway because, you know, it was only down for like 30 minutes.
Right.
Who's gonna hope that this video doesn't get blocked? Even though it's the exact same thing.
I would say, it's the same thing plus some other original content.
Maybe our voices are copyrighted. I love these old school chords here.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is a classic UK rave shit.
Right.
'90s.
Did you say mid-90s? Or...
I think it is mid-90s, yeah. It's from a compilation called Deadly Beats,
sick,
which is just full of jungle and drum and bass bangers.
Nice.
This next one's... also like a jungle drum and bass track. It's Mind Games by System X, and it's actually the most valuable track in terms of the record it's from.
Okay.
On the mix.
Yeah, tell us more.
This was also from that bundle that I bought for 38 quid. It was like £2 per record, really cheap. And this particular one is like a really rare, really sought after old school cut that a lot of people want.
Mm.
And because of that, the few copies that are available online are very expensive. They're in the like 80 to 120 range.
Oh, wow. Shit.
Yeah. And I got it for £2.
Two?
£2, yes.
Good work.
Yeah. So, System X is actually a pseudonym of Fotech, who some people might have recognized that name. He's a pretty popular drum and bass guy, and this is one of his records under a different name.
Oh, okay. Do you know why he chose to use a different name? Is it just because it's a different sound than the Fotech sound?
I don't know. It was pretty common back in the day for producers to change their names for different labels, different records, for whatever reason. So,
fair enough.
You know, who knows?
More mind games.
I love these chords here.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I love any like woo sample for sure. Huge fan.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's classic 90s samples for you.
Oh, give me another woo. Come on. Close.
Gotta tease you like that, huh? I think the percussion is probably my favorite part of this track, just really driving it.
Mm. Yeah, it's very intricate for the type of music it is. I mean, I know jungle has very intricate percussion anyway, but like especially so. So it changes up quite a lot. Yeah, it just so happens to be a very popular, very rare track as well.
Baby, now we're talking.
Close attention to this stereo.
Yes.
Yeah, I put that in there for you, Steve.
Thank you so much. Oh, that's awesome.
So this is I'll Stay by James Blake. Pretty famous name. One of his earlier tracks before he ventured into his kind of like art pop stuff.
I like that kind of higher pitched like loops.
Yeah. This particular track's from 2010, so it's a more recent one.
Wait, what the fuck? I would not have guessed that.
Yeah, that's kind of the funny thing is, like, it's hard to tell, like, what is actually retro and what is, like, something where someone's emulating that retro sound. Oh, this is great, though.
This is, believe it or not, this is actually dubstep. This is technically dubstep. This is what dubstep was before all the whoop-whoops came along and changed it for forever.
Oh, this is pre-Skrillex.
Yeah, so, I mean, just before Skrillex. It's like right at the end of when dubstep was more kind of like, I guess, dub-influenced.
Right, yeah. Right. Who coined, any idea who, like, where that term came from?
Well, it first came around in the mid-2000s as a way of describing music that fused dub with two-step.
Oh, sure.
And it's from, like, London. It's from the London scene. And there were a bunch of producers around that time who were creating this sound, and that's just the name that stuck, dubstep. And then, you know, in the early 2010s, it got hijacked by all the, you know, crazy whoop-whoop music, and just what dubstep is now, which is kind of annoying.
That is a shame, because, like, I wouldn't have even thought of anything other than that being dubstep. And this is amazing.
The way he pitches the vocals is very interesting.
Yeah. It almost sounds like he's taken two different vocal samples that happen to be saying the same words. But
yeah, you're right. That's what it sounds like. I wonder if that was the process.
It's what it sounds like, but it could also very easily just be a
pitch shift. Yeah, pitch shift. I think that's what's happening. They're very processed anyway.
Watch out.
Nice.
That's also from that stereo record.
Yep.
That's
the same record that has that on that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where in the record is that? Do you remember the context?
It was like transitioning into one of the like little like skits on that record.
Yes.
I can't remember what it was exactly. Yeah.
Was it the elevator scene or something like that? Oh, no.
Maybe.
No, it's not that.
No.
We'll figure it out later. But you've used that sample, right? In,
Yeah.
Can you remind me what song?
It might have been Going to Aruba.
That's what I was going to say, but I wasn't sure.
Okay.
Watch out.
Anyway, this is George Jackin by Lapalux. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly, but
I was wondering too, because I've seen this name a lot. I'm not sure how to pronounce it.
Yeah, again, a pretty well-known name. This is from his EP, Some Other Time, from 2012. This one definitely sounds a lot more modern.
Sure.
Oh yeah.
It's on the Brain Feeder label. It's definitely got that kind of sound to it.
We'll be right back.
super scary percussion on this track.
Yeah. I love the atmosphere.
Yeah, very atmospheric.
Where it's got that kind of... Yeah. Where it... Glitch is not necessarily the right word I'm looking for here, but yeah, the skittery is like what you said, just that kind of frenetic kind of thing, but it's still very relaxed overall in tone.
I love those vocal chops a lot.
Yeah, this track's kind of giving me the vibe of being suspended in warm liquid.
Ooh, okay.
You know?
What kind of warm liquid, though?
Water.
Okay, thanks for specifying, because the brain could go in many directions.
You dirty bird.
I was thinking baked beans myself, but...
Oh, God, yeah.
Or jam.
Warm jam? No, thank you. Oh, my God. Maybe like a nice bisque?
Ah.
Creamy bisque?
Lobster bisque.
Yes, please, yeah. Exactly.
Oh. Although that would be kind of unpleasant after a while.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, what's this next track called?
This is Bike Pump Meets Bucket by Polygon Window. And Polygon Window is one of the many pseudonyms of Aphex Twin.
I can hear that.
Yeah, this is a fairly obscure Aphex track. But it's still a really good one.
Was it discovered that it was Aphex Twin, or was it?
I think it's always been known that he produced under this name. It's one of his earliest pseudonyms. This track's from '93. It's a pretty old one.
Yeah, it's as old as I am. Fuck.
Shit.
And me.
Who's the oldest one here? Is it Jack? Jack, are you the oldest?
August of 93.
I mean, I'm like, I think a week after you.
Okay, yeah.
So, I think you're a week older.
I'm the youngest. I'm October 93.
Okay.
I'm a wee baby.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
What a wee lad.
It's weird how close we all are in age, and we all just like happen to... to meet up and like to make music. Spooky.
Spooky.
You say that, but if we were at school together, you guys would be in the year above me probably, so.
Yeah, we couldn't hang out with you. That would be not cool.
Can't hang out with that fucking nerd.
He's a year younger than us. Half a year younger? Ugh.
Yeah, I love Aphex's percussion on his tracks. You can always tell it's him because he adds this like really like thin layer of distortion to his percussion. And it makes it like super crispy.
Is that just like a little, like just a tiny bit of saturation?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can hear it on the hi-hats especially.
Yeah.
I love how, even though the track is basically just a loop, he keeps it going by introducing all these just like little variations here and there. You can almost see him like twisting all the knobs on his gear while the track runs, just changing it up.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, because he operated just on analog stuff, didn't he?
Yeah, this is one of his analog cuts. Right, so there's no software with this.
That's just blows my mind. I know it's not like that crazy, but as someone who grew up in the DAW generation, it's just like, oh my god.
Aphex, he was doing this shit when he was like 13, so you know. He was in the mid 80s when this shit didn't even exist yet, and he was doing it.
Yep.
What a legend.
Yeah, a little percussion breakdown. Yeah, you're right. The filters and everything on there, it's just like perfect. Crispy is a good way to define that. I would not have thought of that myself, but that's so perfect. Crispy percussion. Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I love that.
Crispy.
Because you can tell he's just using like stock drum sounds from drum machines, but he makes them sound unique by just adding these thin layer of effects to them, this subtle layer of variations.
Well, that's a sample somebody's used.
I've used that.
Yeah, I think that's what I'm thinking of.
I used it on the Monochrome track, I think.
Yes, yeah, so I probably sampled that, and that's why I remember it.
Yeah.
Well, remixed it. I don't know if it counts as sampling when you're doing a remix.
Coordination it would take to fucking do all of this.
Little interlude.
It is like a finger pointing away to...
I got this little vocal thing from a record called Bruce Lee Breaks, which is a DJ record full of Bruce Lee vocal samples from his movies. It's super weird.
What? I love how specific that is. Like, here's a record of just vocal samples. Was that authorized in any way? It couldn't have been, right?
I doubt it.
Yeah.
No. It's literally just for DJs to like scratch and add little like vocal bits into their mixes.
I fucking love these synths.
Oh yeah, so this track is Starlight City by Laid. And this is a deep house cut. Again, a pretty rare one that I found a few years ago while digging. I think I paid 99p for it. And it's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's such a deep, hypnotic, groovy, bassy, fun, chill track. I love the bass on this track. It sounds so cool.
Yeah. Oh, that kick too.
Mm-hmm. It has to be one of the most laid-back house tracks I've ever heard.
Just to backtrack for one moment here, Dom, where did you find that Bruce Lee album? That's what I'm most curious about.
It was in that stack of records I bought.
No.
It was one of the records that I bought for £2. Yeah. It's very rare. Like, there's no copies for sale online at all. That's how rare it is. It's not really worth a whole lot because it's such an obscure niche thing, but like, you know, it's a cool thing to have.
Yeah. So do you think someone just like made that themselves? Like if it wasn't distributed?
It was definitely like... I think it was independently produced and then sold online. And then when the copy sold out, that was it, you know?
Yeah. That's so sick, dude.
Because I remember it has a MySpace URL in it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. Yeah.
That tells you exactly what era that was created in. A block of, 5 to 7 years when MySpace was relevant.
What a period of time.
My favorite.
And by the time I tried setting one up, it was like people were done with it, and I was like, wow, fuck.
My favorite feature was the fact that you would rank your friends. What a dumb feature.
Oh, God.
It was just like, here's your top 8 friends or whatever, and you would just rank them. Like, what?
Just like, yeah, let's start shit on purpose between people and their friends. See how well that turns out.
Well, that's how you'd find out if a girl liked you or whatever. It's like you would be in her top 4 or something like that. And you're like, oh, shit. Let's go.
I mean, that's basically how Facebook started. You know, it was just Mark Zuckerberg doing a fucking rate college campus girls website. That's literally what Facebook 1.0 was.
Ew.
Yeah, pretty gross.
Yeah.
So yeah, not a whole lot of variation in this track, but it doesn't matter because it's just a chill time.
You know what would make this better is just some Bruce Lee samples.
Oh, dude, I've got a shit ton of them.
Any standouts?
Well, the one that I used for sure, and there's a lot of stuff like, stand aside, let me show you how it's done, and stuff like that.
You're right.
Yeah.
I tried to fit them in, but I was like, nah, this is one's enough.
Yeah.
What happened to turntablism? I miss that era, dude.
It's for whatever reason, it's considered dated now. Yeah. Like the whole like turntable scratchy thing, it's not popular anymore. It's not in.
I imagine the pendulum will swing back the other way.
Yeah, it will come back at some point for sure. But it's the same. It's similar with like vocoders and stuff like that. Vocoders aren't really that popular anymore, and they were at one point.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, you can do a vocoder track, and it's like a throwback track at this point, you know? Because
yeah.
But I mean, I'd like to see more turntablism come back. A lot of 90s things, well, 90s, early 2000s things are back in music, you know, so.
Yeah.
We're coming around, so all my DJs out there, hip-hop heads, let's get turntable back, turntablism back.
Like, comment, and subscribe for turntables.
Yeah, comment your favorite moment of turntablism in history below.
Turntable.
Excuse me.
How dare you?
Cough further away from me, please.
Sorry,
this
guys.
This is a pandemic.
Cough directly into the microphone.
Bass is tasty.
Yeah, it's, you should, they're on vinyl, but I've just got it blasting out my stereo. It is huge. It's one of the like, it's one of the bassiest, deepest out records I have. Sounds so good.
Nice.
Mankind searched for ways to communicate
really nice.
From the early ages, and now it's possible through the miracle of electronics.
Nice. Can you give us a tell us where that's from?
That is from How to Operate a CB Radio.
Yes. Okay.
Amazing.
Yeah. Very niche. Very outdated as well. Yeah.
Oh my god.
Okay. So this is Spectra by Astral Sounds, and this is from the 80s, and it's actually from a library music record, and an extremely rare one at that. I just happened to find it when I was digging, bought it very cheap, and it's like, it just so happens to be a fairly sought after library music record that's very rare.
What are you saying? It's library music record? Is that what you're saying?
Say that again?
Library music record? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, library music. So basically, it's music that was that specifically it's like music that could potentially be used for like advertising and
okay,
just like, or for use in movies and stuff like that for like low cost.
Yeah,
these kinds of records were very popular in the 70s and 80s, but they weren't manufactured for the public per se, which is why they're really hard to find.
Gotcha. All right, well, thanks for clearing that up. I didn't really know what that meant.
Yeah, not many people know about library music records, but they're a sampling goldmine, and they sometimes give you some amazing music as well.
Nice. Yeah, that was a dope song. What was the artist again? Astral Sounds?
There's a few tracks from this record on YouTube, but most of it is still not uploaded because it's just, you know, it's not that well known. But I really like it.
Right.
The percussion synthetic?
It'll be a drum machine, I'm sure. I'm pretty sure it's all synthetic.
Yeah, that's awesome. I like that a lot. Is this a new track?
Yes, so this is Guns, Bombs, Hand Grenades by RAPP, which I believe stands for Radical Alliance of Poets and Players.
Nice.
Yeah. Wow. Yo, we should have gotten more creative with our collective name. What was it? Radical Association? Alliance, even better. Radical Alliance.
Radical Alliance of Poets and Players.
That's so good.
Nice.
This is an early 80s track. Dub. So we've gone from dubstep to dub.
Just dub. Mm-hmm.
Yep, just dub. Which is obviously an offshoot of reggae.
Oh, okay, yeah.
What are the key characteristics of dub?
I think it's the bass. And the fact, I guess with dub, it doesn't necessarily have to be a specific set of instruments like reggae is. Dub, it's a bit more, there's a bit more variation with what you can do with it. And yeah, it's a bit more bassline oriented, I think, as well.
Outside the talking, the mechanics was walking. Forget the little pickle, feed them little you, them. Forget the little money, they give you them honey. Forget a little more, we open the door for the rest of the brothers coming from the cold.
I love the kind of like lo-fi production on this track.
Yeah.
It's got like a really old school sound that you can only really hear on these kind of like less like big budget records from like the 70s and 80s, where you can tell they're not using the best recording equipment possible, but it creates an aesthetic which just doesn't exist anymore.
Them
used to take me down to the station. Interrogation, brutalization.
I love the those little backing vocals.
Yeah.
Hand grenade.
With the misuse of drugs law, grab I with in power. Me brother, me not tell a liar. Could I drop him with me ratchet? He could have died that night when I was feeling red in the head. Collaborators were dear yard foes.
I wanna chop that sample up, collaborators, and just change it to collaborate.
Yeah. Good idea, dude. That'll be a good sample for the track that we all create together.
Yeah.
I always thought that'd be a funny idea to just do like a track credited to just collaborate and everyone contributes in some way.
I mean, why not? Could be interesting.
Yeah.
I think
that could be neat.
We've talked about the idea of just doing an album under one name and not like crediting any of the songs, which I think would be a fun
right
idea.
Yeah, I remember that.
Even if it's not collaborate, we could pick a name for that release or whatever, but
yeah,
I think that'd be cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right, so here's a name you'll definitely know. The Best That Ever Did It by J Dilla. This is not a very well known J Dilla cut, but it's a very nice one. Chop,
shopping, and record. Coincidentally, he is the Dusty Fingers, the best to ever do it. Petroleum place.
Yeah. Patiently wait for the moody groove to take. Rolls in the drums.
Sorry if that's a hot take. Splash to the ice blue range with the frost
in the dash. Bending corners. Now I'd say in present company that's not the hottest.
Yeah, I figured. Moon roof between tinted sunlight capture each curl from the smoke of the gan. Riding high, incredible vibes manufactured by the one man band on the MP. Chop master. Who's the vocalist? Genre
creator. I don't know actually. Then it's
back to the MC, I guess you'd call it. GP.
Yeah. I'm looking at the Discogs page and it doesn't credit him. So, things I will not forget. Like Rufus Flash and Fruit Punch in the beginning.
And I'm proud to be a part of the lifestyle of a martyr. That's a shame. Life, keeping it pure, rhythmic. I bet maybe a real hip hop head might be able to identify it. Increment
for you. I believe this track was released after he died.
Right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Did the death of J Dilla, did that kind of boost his popularity, or was he already at that level before? Like, you know, I wasn't listening to music at that time.
I think it was a combination.
Yeah.
I think it was a combination of his death and the release of Donuts that did it, because Donuts is, you know, that's the Dilla realm essentially.
And those were right around the same time, basically. So.
Yeah, they literally were. They were like days apart.
Yeah. Rest in peace to the legend.
Okay, so this is Ungawa Part 2 Way Out Guyana Remix by Pulsar Lama. Now that's a mouthful.
Yo, does it all rhyme too? Ungawa Part 2 Way Out of Ghana by Pulsar Lama.
Guyana?
What did I say? Ghana? That's not what I meant.
Ghana?
To say. Oh, man. Just ignore everything I say on this podcast, please. Guyana? Is that what it was?
So this is another. Yeah, this is another 18 track.
Probably. Kiana! Yes. That was perfectly timed. Oh my god.
They're like, yes, you're right.
Yeah, I believe this is actually an old girl group from the 80s that, for whatever reason, they only did like a few songs and then they just disappeared. This is one of them. I love the percussion on this.
Yeah, this is dope.
Oh, yeah. God, the extreme panning on it, too.
Very tribal.
Yes.
Now this, if you listen, this track has the sample. As a sample from the track we just heard.
Okay, okay, smart. That's like a classic move in like a mega mix sort of thing, is you like play the sample source and then the song with the sample in it back to back. That's dope, I love it.
Right, so this is Dance in the Water by Danny Brown. Again, very well-known guy. One of my favorite tracks of his as well. When I first heard the original sample source for this track, I was blown away because I'd heard the Danny Brown track first, and I was like, oh my god, I have the record that was sampled on that Danny Brown track, like, in my collection.
Oh.
Nice.
Yeah, I think this is actually the most recent track in the playlist. It's 2016, this one.
Oh, right on.
Really?
All right, here we go. So this is Reminisce by Ondra. I think I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right, but yeah.
Ondra or Ondra?
Yeah, something like that. We'll be right back. nice little hip-hop-y sample loop thing I found.
It almost feels like the vocal sample could be that same song again, just like stretched out a little bit.
Diana!
Doesn't it? Am I crazy?
No, I hear it too.
It's a good translation.
Well, that's why I put them right next to each other.
That's brilliant.
All right, so now we're knee deep in the funk. So Funky Nassau Part 1 by The Beginning of the End. This is a classic funk record from the early 70s. Again, this is another record I found for like £1 several years ago.
Wow.
You're very good at this.
Yeah. I don't know why, I'm just very lucky.
Good God sighting. There has to be one per funk song.
I just love how warm the production from this era is.
Yeah. Love those horns.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
All right.
Fuck.
So this is Dear Limits by Azimuth. This is a late 70s jazz funk track. This record's not in amazing shape, which is why you can hear the crackle. But yeah, that's the aesthetic, I think, so, you know.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I'd say it adds character to it.
Again, this is another one I bought for like £1 a couple years ago.
I love this song. This is my first time hearing it. I already love it. Yeah, it's okay. It keeps getting better.
Uh-huh.
Again, yeah. This is vocoders, when vocoders were cool.
Hell yeah, dude.
And when slap bass was cool as well. That's also a thing that's not really cool anymore.
Yeah, damn it. I think it's cool to some degree, but... might just be like a taste thing at this point.
I think on the stuff like this, it's really cool, but it can be quite kind of pokey if it's on the wrong track.
Right.
I've sampled Azimuth quite a few times myself in my tracks. Not this record in particular, but their Light as a Feather LP.
Oh, nice.
That has a lot of really nice samples on it, and it's all stuff like this.
Tom, have you ever thought about doing a live set kind of like this? I don't know if you have the equipment for it, but
I did mention that earlier. I only have one turntable, and it's not, you know, it's not really adequate for DJing.
Sure.
So, you know, one day for sure, but for now, you know, this will have to do.
I was just thinking how dope that would be for like the next time we do like a collaborate live kind of thing. It'd be fun to do a set of just like playing records, playing songs you like off the records.
Here comes the jazz.
Here comes the jazz. I'm covered in jazz.
Suspended in liquid.
No. That was the worst time for a callback. Oh, that's brilliant.
Alright, so this is where the mix starts to simmer down. One of the ideas I had for the mix was it to start out hot and kind of intense, and towards the end it just kind of mellows out and becomes more chill.
Oh, nice.
So, this is... I'm gonna butcher this pronunciation. It's U Forte by Stefan Grimaud or something like that. That is 100% incorrect, and I apologize, but this is another library music record that I found alongside the Astral Sound record in the same shop. Just a nice little loungy thing. Again, very obscure stuff.
The mix on that harmonica is like pretty hot.
It's
loud. Coming in heavy.
I did try to turn it down a bit, but you know.
No, it's not. It's not on you. I mean, like when it was produced, they're like, "We need let's jack up this harmonica."
I mean, to be fair, this wouldn't have been produced with like much care, I guess, because it is just stock music. That's literally what it is.
Oh. Like the stuff that they would pipe into elevators and such?
Or
not that stock.
Not that stock. It's more just like it's commercial music for commercial ventures.
Oh, for adverts and such.
Yeah.
This is like maybe like a please bear with us, we're having technical issues sort of bumper. Or it's like you're shopping in The Sims.
If you're on hold. All of our operators are currently busy with other customers. God. We thank you for your patience.
Yes.
You are 69th in line.
Oh, this song is so wacky. It's killing me.
Here comes the harmonica. Yeah, this is the delights of library music for you. Most of it isn't even this good, but you know.
Well, the other track that you got from a library record was so dope. What was the name of that one?
Yeah, Spectra.
Yeah. That one was really good.
Yeah, that whole record was amazing. That was like practically an album, but this is from a track like typical library music record, and it has a bunch of different producers and artists on it, and all the tracks are like nothing alike. This is the only track that sounds like this on the record. The rest of it is just like weird little noodly synth stuff, which is kind of boring.
Right. Ooh. Yeah.
Right, so this is Unicorn by Fortet. Again, very well known name. Great producer.
I like the transition.
This is from his Beautiful Rewind LP from, I think, 2013. So a fairly recent one.
Nice.
Just the way Fortet collects and utilizes his little textural samples is really interesting. It has a really like its sound is very like organic, but in a way that would be you know impossible to produce without MIDI and software. So it's super cool.
I can't say I've ever heard this. This is really nice.
I love those synths in the far channels.
Mm.
The far side channels, that
yeah.
is.
I love how it builds up, too.
Mm. Oh, just you wait for the breakdown. That bit is pretty cool.
Oh, I'm hyped now.
The BPM is starting to go down.
Oh. Uh-huh.
Sick.
Oh.
That was dope.
Right, so this is a record that if you're an old school Pogo fan, you might recognize a few little bits and pieces in this. He sampled this on his Broken Beats EP.
Hmm.
So this is Mandragora by Andreas Vollenweider. I think that's right. Yeah, 80s New Age. There's a little bit about halfway through this track that you'll definitely recognize.
Now I'm listening extra carefully.
Yeah.
There it was.
Yep, I definitely recognize that. I'm glad you gave us context, though, because I would not have been able to tell you what that sample was used in. I do this all the time where I'm like, that's a sample. I have no idea what it's from.
I missed it. I missed it.
I think it's is the track it's from. I think it's called Get Out from his Broken Beats EP. It's a pretty good track.
I don't remember it specifically, but as soon as I heard
the sample,
it's
basically it's just little chops and loops from this particular record that he made a beat with.
Sweet.
Now things start to get even more kind of deep and mystical. This is Milky Way by Weather Report. Weather Report, very famous jazz fusion band from the 70s. But this track is definitely one of the weirdest things they ever put out. I don't even know how they made this, but I love the textures in it. Some of the chords in this are just crazy.
Yeah. What was that?
that really distant in the
It sounded like one of those party.
It sounded almost like record bleed.
Ah. I think it was a trumpet. I think that's what it was.
Sounds like one of those things you blow at a party when the guest comes in and it's a surprise, you know? What do you call those things?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. You know what would be a funny sample source is us listening to a record, I mean, or a playlist or whatever. And we often like try to duplicate the sounds. I notice especially me and Jack do this. I think it'd be funny to go back and sample those.
Right, so this is the most meditative and quietest part of the mix. This is Meditation Number 1 by Laraji. And the story behind this is Brian Eno apparently bumped into this guy when he was performing on the street, and he liked his music so much he basically invited him into the studio and made a record with him, and this is what became of that.
What? That is such a cool story.
Yeah.
So this was produced by Brian Eno?
Yeah, it's actually part of his ambient series. That, you know, the Music for Airports stuff. There was four records in that series, and this is the third one in. And it's the only one that isn't credited to Eno, but he did produce it.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's... Despite that, it's actually one of his less well-known albums.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a really nice one. A lot of very nice acoustic instruments, and as usual, Eno's production is sublime.
Can you imagine getting like discovered by Brian Eno on the street? Like, that's, he was just like playing. He was like a street performer kind of thing, like just jamming in the street.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh my god!
I think so.
That's so neat. Like in England, like London or something?
I think it was New York, actually.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. I think, it was around the time Eno was producing Talking Heads, that kind of mm-hmm. era, late mm-hmm. 70s.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Yeah. Yeah, it's super quiet here. It's like barely audible over the vinyl crackle. It's dope. Yeah. The use of dynamics on this track in particular are really, really cool, because it's not afraid to just get super, super quiet, and then it will just all of a sudden just come straight back up again, but in a really smooth and kind of easygoing way.
This actually would be a perfect meditation song.
Yeah. I actually sampled this record, not this particular track, I don't think. But I might have actually sampled this track, but the main sample I used is from a different track on this album, and I used it on the one of the tracks I put on the Up Late album. I can't remember what it's called. Is it Under the Stars Tonight?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Laraji is one of the artists I sampled on that track.
Sweet, yeah. Let's go back and listen to that. I can kind of picture it in my head, but...
Okay, so now we're in the final stretch. This is Iambic Nine Poetry by Squarepusher. Squarepusher is usually known for creating just absolutely insane, jazzy drum and bass tracks, but this is one of his more mellow tracks, and I really like this one. The build on it especially is really nice, and I thought it would make for a decent sort of closer for the mix.
Oh, fuck. Nice.
Wow, that's really nice percussion. This is one of those things where I'm going like, man, I wish I had a friend that was a drummer, you know, because he's so sick to like just pull out this kind of stuff.
Squarepusher is just one of those guys that's so talented. He does the production and the instrumentation himself. Like,
no, fuck.
Like, you should that's see sick. Him playing bass. He is absolutely nuts. He's one of the craziest, insane, most insane bassists I've ever seen, and he's also one of the craziest, most insane producers I've ever heard as well. So, you know, he's just naturally gifted. I'm so jealous.
Yeah, definitely. I'm gonna listen to some more Squarepusher after this.
Yeah, I love the way this track slowly builds. I love how he puts the drums quite high in the mix, so you can really hear like the acoustics of them. So you can tell they're real drums.
Yeah, there's no doubt in your mind. Like, as soon as they come on, you just, you know it's live, like a real drummer. Yeah, I found this record in a record store when I was visiting Liverpool last year. And as soon as I saw it, I was like, must have. it's a pretty rare record. It only got printed once back in 2004. So it's pretty hard to find. What's the record again?
The record is called Ultra Visitor. It's one of my favorites of his.
Wow.
It's an insane record. Just the production is just insane.
I'll have to check that out. You definitely introduced me to some new stuff today that I'm going to pursue further. So that's what these are all about, right?
That was, that's exactly what I wanted to do with this mix, was to just show a bunch of awesome tracks that perhaps not many people know about.
Sick.
All right, last track. This is another library music track, Critical Mass by Jeff Leach, This is probably the most obscure cut on here. It's not even on YouTube, apart from this mix, I think. So, yeah. I just thought it was a nice little closer track, because it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
And again, it's just synth porn, which I like.
Yeah, absolutely.
Symmetry, Dom.
And that was it.
Beautiful. I love that.
Fuck yeah.
That was great. Thanks for doing that, dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, I had a lot of fun making it, so.
Yeah, I bet. It's a blast. It sounded like a blast.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. So can we expect more of these from you in the future?
Maybe not in the, like, near future.
Not near future, but
because I need to get more records first, but
right, it's right. A good excuse though.
Yeah, I'll definitely make more, but it might just be like a once a year deal. I think that's probably the best way to do it.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, that's fair. Otherwise they'll just be diminishing returns, you know, because
right,
they'll just be like, oh, I've already used all the best stuff. I mean, there was plenty of stuff I had to cut from this mix that I recorded as well. There was like 3 hours worth of stuff. So fuck. I could easily make another mix, but it wouldn't be quite as good as this one, I don't think. So I'm just going to wait and accumulate more stuff and do it again maybe next year. Well, so
all right,
whenever,
fair enough.
Whenever I'm ready.
Cool, cool. In the meantime, is there anything you would like to plug?
Just the mix on the Collaborate channel. Hopefully, by the time this airs, it will still be there. Who knows?
<willing.
laughs> But yeah, that and my Bandcamp page, romanmusic.bandcamp.com, if you want to hear my original music.
Yeah, so do it.
Do
it.
Yeah, I guess that's it.
Awesome. Steve?
Just gonna plug my YouTube page. I'm trying to put out weekly content right now, so now's a good time to jump on the bandwagon.
Oh,
and that's just think Fish Tank. Yeah. Also, I've had a lot of downtime with the pandemic and everything, so I'm actually taking commissions right now. If anyone wants me to write them a beautiful theme song for their podcast or anything else, just hit me up. So yeah, that's
nice.
My plugs.
I will do that.
Yeah,
very nice. Very nice. I commission you to look at the collaboration that I sent you in May.
You know, if you do pay me, it will jump to the front of the line.
I guess we'll negotiate rates off
oh
mic.
God. We will get to that. We will get
but,
to that.
Yeah, yeah.
I commission you to do a remix of all the sounds that you were making throughout this podcast. All the
okay, that's fair.
Cool, cool. I guess for me, I'll plug the usual things. Soundcloud.com/Jocka and YouTube.com/JockaJabberwock. And yes, I do make music, and I am making music, and things are in the works, but I can't share anything yet, so
ooh,
hang
incredible.
Tight. But stuff is coming. Stuff is coming.
Don't forget to plug your album that's coming out within the next decade. for sure.
Yeah. Definitely you'll do that. Oh, but before I forget, thank you so much to EMP for our theme music. It's Blood on the Ground. And I believe you can get that off of his Bandcamp page.
Oh, yes.
It occurred to me that we really need to start crediting.
Yeah, Ethan, what the hell? We've not done well at all on that. Shit. Sorry,
nope.
Ethan.
Nope. So I'm trying to make a conscious effort to fix that.
We should put that in the sorry to interrupt you. We should put that in the description for all the podcasts as well, now that I'm thinking of it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we can if you look down in the description now, it's there.
Hopefully.
Yes. We will definitely fix that.
Unless we forget.
But yes. Thank you to Ethan. Hopefully we can have him on again sometime. Miss him. It's been a minute since I've heard from him. But yeah, cheers. Well, fellas, shall I roll in that there outro music?
I guess so. Just another shout out to Dom for making a dope mix. That was really fun.
Fuck yeah.
Thanks.
All right, guys. Good hanging out with you guys. Take care of yourselves.
Hey, you too. Bye, everybody.
Peace.
Bye.